You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder.
Well met, tavern brawlers, and welcome to Hearth Casual's Brawl Breakdown for Ragnaros' Fire Festival. I'm Brian Black. The Midsummer Fire Festival is back in Hearthstone. I hope you're completing your dailies so you're getting double gold. And amongst all the other things that are happening during the Midsummer Fire Festival, not to mention there's some great Boomsday reveals going on that we'll talk about next week, but of course the biggest thing this week is the Midsummer Brawl, or Ragnaros' Brawl as it were, so why don't we get right to it with a Brawl Breakdown.
Brawl!
Alright, this is a returning Brawl, but it's not a Brawl we've seen too many times. It's only the second time that we've seen the Brawl. The first Fire Festival was last year, thanks to Hearthpwn, as always, for the trivia and for kind of helping me on the breakdown here. This is a build-your-own-deck Brawl, which means, of course, it's one of my favorite kind of Brawls, and it all revolves around mini-rags. So at the start of the game, a mini-Ragnaros will spawn on the side of the second player. It has 2-3 stats and is immune, so you can't really interact with it. And it's essentially like a game of hot potato, where at the end of the turn, mini-rag is going to deal damage to the other side. Random damage with fire missiles are equal to its attack power. So it starts out with 2. Then if it ends up killing any minions, it gets angrier. Its attack power goes up for each minion that kills. So, as you can imagine, the more minions it kills, the angrier it becomes. The angrier it becomes, the more minions it kills. And it quickly spirals out of control till you could have a mini-rag that's up to 12, 15. I've seen a mini-rag do 28 points of damage. It can get pretty freaking crazy. So the object of the game is, as always, to kill your opponent, but you have to keep in mind this mini-rag is affecting both sides of the board, switching back and forth, and really you want to be the one to not be on the receiving end of mini-rag's lethal damage when he gets up to like 15 or higher or so. So that's basically the gist of the Brawl, and you have to build your deck keeping that in mind. Of course, one thing I forgot to mention is the more minions that you kill during this Brawl, you will get your WoW emote upgraded to set off fireworks, which is a kind of cool, neat thing, and I'd like to see more stuff that they do tied off with that, but let's get down to getting that pack and defeating your opponent. So, the classes that I have played so far are Druid, Paladin, Warlock, and Priest, but any class really is going to work with the right build and a little bit of luck. I feel that there are 4 keys to building a deck for this Brawl, and I will sum up that by saying you want minions that have effects that take place when they take damage, you want to be able to play small minions that are efficient and quick, you want to play spells that give you life gain or armor at the right time, and death rattles tend to do a pretty good job here because most minions are going to end up dying in this Brawl. So, of course, minions with death rattle effects can be beneficial if you choose the right ones. Now, with all that in mind, let's kind of break down each of those keys really quickly. Minions with take damage effects, there are a few of them, just a handful, but they are all important, and I would include these following minions in pretty much every single deck. Dragon Egg, Acolyte of Pain, and the MVP himself, Grim Patron. Yep, Grim Patron, Mr. Everyone get in here. I did forget to mention that this Brawl is a wild format Brawl, so you can play anything in this. But Grim Patron is insane in this Brawl. Once mini-rag gets up to, say, 5, 6, 7 damage, if you drop a patron down on turn 5, the first hit that it takes is going to spawn a Grim Patron. That is an eligible target for the following missiles, and you can kind of imagine where this is going to go. One Grim Patron can easily turn into 4, 5, it could fill your whole board with patrons if your RNG is right. And it's not only does that create more minions that can potentially attack your opponent, but this is absorbing a lot of that mini rag damage, so a Grim Patron is not just a creature generator, but it's a source of damage, and it's protecting you from a lot of damage. I mean, it's just all of that in mega chips. You must run Grim Patron in a deck. I feel like any deck in this Brawl without Grim Patron is kind of nerfed. That being said, I know that if you don't have the Karazhan adventure, you don't have access to Grim Patron automatically, so you'd have to craft him. I don't know. I think Grim Patron is a fun enough card as a casual player that I would still craft Grim Patron, not just for this brawl, but in general. It's one of the more fun creatures, albeit one of the more annoying ones in the game. As for playing small minions efficiently and quickly, Paladin, Warlock, and Druid really have this in spades. I can think of Entangled Roots, I think, for Druid. It's that 2 damage spell, summon 2/1/1 saplings for 1 mana. It's a great start. Warlock has Forbidden Ritual, which is not bad to play on turn 3 or turn 4 early on in the brawl. You get 3/1/1s or 4/1/1s, and that can be a great setup to your Grim Patron to feed Mini Rag just before you drop Grim Patron the next turn. Paladin, of course, has Lost in the Jungle. If you're playing Wild, it also has Muster for Battle. You can go Odd Paladin if you want to, and Odd Paladin's going to make your hero power better. It's going to make Muster amazing. Just Odd Paladin is insane in this brawl, is to just feed your own soldiers to Ragnaros, get him super stupid high, and not to mention that Paladin has access to one of the best healing cards in the game with Forbidden Healing. That can really change just the whole flow of this fight when both of you are taking insane amounts of damage, but you play Forbidden Healing for 7 mana and gain 14 life. That's pretty good. And that kind of leads me to my next bit as far as life gain, armor, defense, all that kind of stuff is great. Druid has, of course, the 4 mana spell that lets you choose to draw a card or gain 6 armor or give your minions +1 attack and do it twice. I'm totally forgetting that, the name of that spell. Man, I love how on this show I can forget card names easily, and you can tell that I don't make show notes that have these cards all the time. But Druid is good for that. Druid's good for armor gain, not only armor gain, but buffing cards. Barkskin does really well if you do a little bit of mana acceleration and you are able to get up to 6 mana, drop your Grim Patron, Barkskin it. It's going to make it tougher, it's going to allow it to take more hits, spawn more of its friends, and it gets pretty sick. Mark of the Wild also works well. Even the spell that creates a 3/2 minion or gives all your creatures +1/+1. It's that Power of the Wild. Spell names. Oh my gosh, I am awesome, man. Anyhow, that's basically how Druid works, and of course, Priest has so many different kind of life gain cards, and since death rattles are kind of a thing in this brawl, you can go with Quest Priest pretty easily. If you have Awaken the Makers, go with Quest Priest, play those death rattle minions, have them die quickly, then you get access to Amara, which for 5 mana is an 8/8, lets you heal and go back up to 40 life. That is incredible, and the great thing about Quest Priest is you don't have to worry about drawing into that card. You just need to be playing insane numbers of death rattles. So I had thought about playing a Reno deck and using Reno Jackson for stupid life gain. I even tried a Reno Quest Priest, but that didn't work so well. The difference between Reno and Amara is Amara, you can pretty much control how soon you get Amara out. Reno is totally RNG. If it's at the bottom of your deck, it's not going to help you out. And I think I've covered the gist of just a lot of things I want to go over. Really quick, Warlock. I've actually been playing Warlock just before I recorded this Brawl Breakdown. You want to play Forbidden Ritual. Spellstones work good here as far as giving you a way to get some life gain, even if you spellstone one of your own minions to do it. Emerald Reaver is a great way to power your spellstone. Kobold Librarian, Hellfire works good. And Curse of Weakness is surprisingly good defense if you get to turn 6 or later and you just cast it 2 or even 3 times. It lowers Mini Rag temporarily. It lowers any big bodies that your opponent may have gotten on the board. Curse of Weakness, especially good against a Priest deck. That is one thing I forgot. If you play Priest, because Grim Patron is so dominating in this brawl, make sure if you play Priest, you put in 2 copies of Shadow Madness, because Well, Shadow Madness will give you your own Grim Patrons, and that is just gravy. So a priest deck with two Shadow Madnesses and two Grim Patrons of its own, you really can't go wrong. This is a great brawl, folks. I love deck building brawls, and I was just thinking about Grim Patron itself. It feels like a card that maybe possibly should be banned, but one big difference a Grim Patron has going for itself is that any class has access to him. It's a neutral minion. So I don't feel too bad about keeping Grim Patron unbanned and part of the format. There's just a lot of flavor to it. And while it does help you win a number of games, it doesn't always mean an automatic win when you drop Grim Patron. That's gonna do it, I think. But before I leave you today, Kevin actually does have a few words he wants to share with you guys. Peter Whalen released a video showcasing a few new cards from the Boomsday Project, and I'm going to let Kevin tell you all about that.
Hey guys, it's Kevin here really quickly with just some very quick thoughts for you. So honestly, since we last recorded, a lot more cards have been announced than we might have expected. We had the announcement that a big card dump is coming on the 23rd, which is still true. And up until that point, we didn't really think much more would be dropping for us. But Hearthstone's kind of changing their approach to this. They actually did this a little bit last expansion too, where there were a couple more smaller videos that would highlight maybe a new mechanic and show us some things. You guys might remember from like the odd and even decks, we got to see a little bit more detail in that in some videos. So we're seeing that kind of thing again. And so in this case, so there was a video about a bunch of mechs and of course the magnetic synergy, and it's pretty interesting. There's some discussion to be had on those cards, and I'm sure Brian and I will knock that out for you guys next week a little bit, along with whatever else new cards come out. But there's one I want to highlight in particular more than anything else right now. It actually was in a video that dropped today, so Thursday, and this is one with Peter Whalen. It's called just Hearthside Chat, Welcome to Boom Labs. And the first thing that threw me off about this whole thing was, I don't know how Peter was able to change back into a human after being in his mech chicken form. Like, I thought the last cliffhanger was that Dr. Boom had him caged up with the rest of the devs, but I don't know, whatever. Maybe it's just not canon, you know? Maybe it's off script somehow, and that could be something. But either way, so it was a good video, for sure. And I just wanted to point out, mainly, okay, there were a couple card reveals in this, and he did talk about the overall theme of the expansion as being science-themed. Science! Right? So, I mean, that's cool, and I'm sure there's plenty more to explore with that, but I'm just dancing around it at this point. I want to talk about Whizbang the Wonderful. So this is one of the most interesting cards I think they've ever done, just because I don't even know how to explain it other than, let me read the card. If you haven't seen this video yet, we're looking at a 4-mana 4/5, at least is how it reads, and then the card is Whizbang the Wonderful, which is a little gnome guy that has a bunch of swirly stuff over his head. Kind of hard to describe on an audio format, but hey, there you go. Anyway, so the text reads, you start the game with one of Whizbang's wonderful decks. And what this does is, it actually replaces your deck with one of your class, what do you call them? The deck recipes, actually. So there's always a couple different deck recipes you can pick from per class, and so you'd slot him in, and he just replaces your entire deck with one of the deck recipes. And so when you first hear about this, and when you first see the video, your initial thought's going to be, oh, that's really good for new players who don't have a very big card collection, maybe don't even have all the cards that you need for the recipes in the first place, and thus, here's a way for you to get in there and mess with all that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, that is true. The other thought, too, is that this would help enable fireside gatherings, and it just in general, playing with your friends. So if everyone had this card, you could just bust them out, try out the decks against each other, and no matter what people's collections are like, you're having probably fairly even games and that sort of thing too. So also good, also a plus. But for me, the biggest plus on this, and honestly the reason why I want to do a day one craft of this card, is because he actually replaces your hero, so presumably he's got his own emotes and everything else, right? But that in itself just more than advertises the fact that you're running a whizbang deck. And I could see myself being in a situation where maybe I hit my rank 5 floor, hanging out at Dad Legend. I don't necessarily care if I win or lose too much. I mean, I do. I always try, of course. But to try really hard with whizbang decks and beat people who are seriously trying to push the ladder with whatever the latest tier 1 meta deck is would be very satisfying to me. Very satisfying indeed. So I think I'm all about this guy. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, so yeah, there's, again, so much more to come. So much more happening next week. And really, I mean, we're only a couple weeks away from this whole thing coming out in the first place. So, you know, hang tight. I think it's going to be cool. I'm loving the set so far, and I hope you guys are enjoying it too. But in the meantime, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Until next time, you can follow the show on Twitter at HearthCasual. You can email us at hearthcasual@gmail.com. And of course, you can find the show at hearthcasual.frozenfoxmedia.com. Next week is episode 11, and it's going to be a good one because it'll be our first show where we have plenty of cards to choose from to talk about as far as the Boomsday project goes. I can't wait to share all of that with you. So until then, for Kevin Ellis, this is Brian Black. We'll talk to you next week on episode 11, and despite what Ragnaros may tell you next week, it won't be too soon.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.